Good morning. Yeah, it's a real pleasure to be with you this morning here in Fort St. John, and I hope you're going to get used to this kind of accent. There's a lot to celebrate. Last Wednesday I was in Vancouver, in Abbotsford, in fact, for the C2C banquet, and I hear so many stories about what God is doing here in BC. And so there's a lot to celebrate. There's a lot to celebrate about what God is doing in Quebec. And I'm glad to have the opportunities to share with you about what's going on there. I think it's important for you to know that Quebec is the least reached area for the gospel in all the Americas. South America, Central America, and North America. There's less than 0.5% of Christians attending an evangelical church. I heard last week that there's less Christians in Quebec than in Pakistan. So there's a lot of needs there, but God is doing great things now. But before sharing that with you, I think to know, to understand really the impact of the gospel in Quebec, it's good for you to know about a little bit about the history of Quebec, the religious background of Quebec. Because each time I'm sharing that, people are coming to me after and say, "Hey, I didn't know that," and it's good to know. You know that Quebec was really religious province, really strong Roman Catholic province before. So in the 30s, 40s, 50s, the Roman Catholic Church was strong, ruling over every aspect of life. The historian called this era the Great Darkness. They have bring a lot of good things, like care, hospital, education to people. They have help us to keep the culture, the language. But at certain point, they lost their focus and start to be more political than faithful movement. They were ruling over everything. They have put in place, in this time, the 30s to the 50s, 19, over 50,000 priests in each small parish or villages to check, watch everyone if they were in line with the church. And you know that the Roman Catholic were Francophone, French-speaking people, and the English-speaking people were Protestant, and they were fighting together. They always had fight at that time. And so to increase the population of French-speaking people, the church have put some laws and rules in the church in Quebec among Francophones. One of these rules was women need to have a children every year. If 1 year a woman don't have children, she will be put out of the church. So out of the church means you are not part of the community anymore. You go to the grocery, they won't serve you because you're out of the community, you lose your friend. So having many children was common. My grandmother had 17 children, and that was not a lot. I know many women who had 22, 23, and 24 children. Even if it was dangerous for your life, the doctor would say, you cannot have another baby. The priest would say, if you don't have a baby this year, you're going to be out of the church. And many women died because of that. So people became upset, something angry about the church, the Great Darkness. June 25, 1960, a new government came in place, and they said, enough is enough. We want to be master in our own home. And they get the power, and they start to push away the church from all the institutions. The historian called that the Quiet Revolution. They push away the church from schools, education, from hospital, health, and care. They push away the church from culture. Senior stand up, start to sing and about freedom, about we want to be master in our own home. We don't want this burden anymore. Enough is enough. They say something like, you don't have to believe those things anymore. Church, Bible, Jesus, faith. You're free of that. And people were saying, we were getting there and we won't go back there for sure. That's created a vacuum. People didn't know what to believe anymore. First missionaries have been sent at this time. The MBs have sent Ernest Dick, in 1961. You have planted 6 churches. You still exist. But all the other denominations have sent churches to at this time, and they start to plant churches. And the first church, evangelical church, have been planted at this time. There was almost nothing before that among the Francophone world in Quebec. In the 60s, people have been put in jail because they were proclaiming the gospel in the park, in the street. They were sharing their faith, giving New Testament, and they have been put in jail. I know some people that still have the newspaper, part of the newspaper, that some pastor have been put in jail. That's less than 50 years ago. People were not open to Jesus anymore. In 75, there was a kind of small revival. Small revival. People start to come to Jesus and start to attend the church, and the church grew and up to 1985, 86, and it stopped, and they start to decline. The church was young, first-generation Christian. A lot of mistakes have been done. People have been hurt, and they have quit the church. And now you share the gospel with people, and they don't want to hear about that. At that time, it was, I know, I remember some parents at an Easter when they were showing a Jesus film at a TV. They were turning off the TV, saying, "You should not listen to that. It's dangerous." That was the atmosphere that was there. We had the highest rate of suicide among teenagers in the world, and men of my age. And they were rejecting the only one who could do the difference, Jesus. A lot of church plans have been tried. A lot of effort have been put to try to plant churches. But in the 90s, in the beginning of 2000, about in North America, including Quebec, including BC, about 4 church plants on 5 were failing. They were closing their door before 5 years. It was hard. And in Quebec, it was even harder sometimes. That's why C2C have been put in place. We wanted to make church planting a success. We were looking to what was the mistake that we have done with church planting, and we tried to fill that. And so what C2C is doing is we assess the right planters to put the right person at the right place. We train them, we coach them, we support them financially. We make it really hard to come be and becoming a planter to be sure that there's the right person, the right call, and the right health, emotional health to do it, and the capacity to do it, and after that we support and finance them. In 2002, I was in business up to 1999, but in 2002 I've been invited with a group of businessmen to go in Ecuador. I always have a hard time to say this word, Ecuador, in South America. Okay, this country, Ecuador, Guayaquil, yeah? You following me? Am I alone? Yeah, so I was there with a group of businessmen and women, and we were there to share the gospel with business people and politicians and in villages, showing the Jesus film in villages. And I've seen hundreds of people coming to Christ, people, the entire village is coming to Christ. I led one of the commandant of the military commandant to the Lord, and invite me after that to go to his base, and he asked me to share the gospel with all his leaders. And one of the businessmen of Mango, he had a big enterprise of Mango, he gave his life to Christ, and invite us to go in his business with a big farm, and 100 people were working there, and he said, "Share the gospel with them." But they were all working, and the machine were running, and he shut down the plant. He gathered all the employees and said, "Share the gospel now to them." Almost all of them gave their life to Christ, and they started church right there. One church grew up from 2,000 to 5,000 inside 3 to 4 months. I've never seen something like that. And I came back in Quebec. I was crying, and I said to the Lord, don't you like my people? Why don't you do something like that here? People are praying for that. These people need hope. They need you. Why don't you do something like that here in my province? And he said to me, say, Patrice, people were praying for Ecuador for years and years and years. They have sent missionaries there, one after the other one. Some of them have been killed. And now we were seeing the result of that. The power of prayer. And this is what we are seeing now in Quebec. People are praying for Quebec for years and years. For over 50 years at least. That people are praying. I meet some people sometimes say, I'm praying for Quebec every day since Ernest Dick were there in 1960. And people are praying. And in C2C at 10:02 every morning we are praying because of Luke 10:2, who said, pray the master of the harvest to send workers on his harvest. Jesus asked us to pray the master of the harvest to send workers. So at 10:02 every morning we pray for many years. There's thousands of people in Canada who are praying every day and every day for Quebec, and we are seeing the result now. 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, when we start with C2C in Quebec, we had 4 churches. Today we are working with 23 churches and apprentices in Quebec. That's unique. There's a movement of God now in Quebec that as we have never seen. 23 churches 4 years after. That's incredible. That's a miracle. We're seeing people coming to Christ as we have never seen. And there's so much thing to say, so many stories to share about what's going on there. Just last month, a new church guy came to us. He's a doctor, a medical doctor. Luke, his name. Working east part of Montreal. Each time he had a patient in his office, he asked him or her, can I pray for you? And in the last 10 years, only 2 refused. And he prayed for them and he led them to Christ. And he had so many people now that he decided to quit his practices and work only 2 days a week. He said, I can live with 2 days a week. Humble life? I can live with that. And I'm going to dedicate my life after that to follow up this new followers of Christ and make disciples of them and lead more people to Christ. So he started a church and he called us and said, I don't know what to do. I need coaching. I need training. Can I go? Can you help me? So C2C is with them. 2.5 years ago, we started a church with Christian Yancy McGregor. 2.5 years ago. And they already have 2 services. An English church. There's 700,000 English-speaking people in Montreal. It's a city by themselves. They need to hear the gospel too. Recently, they had a baptism there, and one of the guys was going to be baptized, invite 3 friends. One was an atheist, a Jewish, and a Muslim. And during the baptism, they were the one who was cheering the loudest among all the people because their friend was being baptized. And they heard the gospel for the first time. And they start to question and they came back. They keep coming back to hear more about Jesus. There's a movement now in the new generation who wants to know. We have this church in Sherbrooke City, east part of Quebec, of Montreal, about 1.5 to 2 hours from Montreal. This guy, Marc Pilon and Marie-Hélène, started a church there 4.5 years ago. They had over close to 300 baptisms since the beginning. They start another campus in Magog, and they start now 4 other campuses in Montreal. In 4 years, we're seeing hundreds of baptisms. We have another church called La Chapelle, French church again, Francophone church, right downtown Montreal. Grew up in 2 years from 0 to close to 1,000 people. They call us and say, we don't know what to do with that. How can we handle that? We cannot do follow up all those people. We need to replant. We need to do something. Can you help us? So we assess 2 other candidates, and we did the follow up with them, the coaching, the training, and we start 1 campus with them last September in a place called Mile End, an area of Montreal. They're already close to 400 people. Last Easter, they had 70 baptisms. Can you believe that? all kind of people. People that you would say they will never come to Jesus. Like this guy called Alain. Alain has been raised like a fighting dog. He was beaten by his father when he was 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. When he had 7, their parents bring him in a group with other family where they were getting their kids fighting against one another until one is knocked out, punching the other one, 7 years old. And Alain knew that if he was not the winner, he would be beat at home after. So he was pushing so hard the other child to win the fight. Alain grew up knowing only one thing. When something's not going like you want, you just punch using your fist. Eventually, Alain had girlfriend, and they had a young girl, a baby. And when her young girl was afraid at night, Alain was saying to her, "Hey, just ask Jesus, he will help you." Alain didn't know nothing about Jesus, but he just wanted to secure his daughter. At 18 years old, his daughter went to this church in Sherbrooke and gave her life to Christ. And she called her father, Alain. She said, "Dad, you know this Jesus that you were talking about when I was young? I know him. Would you come at church with me next Sunday?" He said, "Yes, I will go." And Alain went there. And just in the middle of the sermon, he started to cry. And he gave his life to Christ. His life totally changed. It was a rough time, but his life changed, and now he's doing his testimony all around the province, showing what God can do in the life of a person when a person is open his heart. And the church is ready to share the gospel and invite people to get to know this unique Jesus. There's so many things going on. You can share stories all day like that. C2C wants to help. C2C do not plant churches. We help churches who want to replant, restart, do second service, do another campus. That's what we are doing. And there's a lot of needs. We are still less than half, 0.5 or less than 0.5% in the province of Christians. We still need help and prayer because there's this movement. We are seeing people, thousands of people coming to Christ, but there's more. And this movement is beginning with Jesus, and Jesus change and transform and heal people. But we need you to continue to pray for Quebec, to support. We cannot say, "Lord, stop, please, stop sending workers." We cannot support them. Stop sending workers. We don't know what to do with them. We just keep praying because Jesus asked us in Luke 10 too, to pray. Send workers. The harvest is ready. And the harvest is ready now in Quebec. We are in this season now. And we're inviting you to be partner with us in what he's doing there. This is your summary. Quebec. God is working. And you can be part of that. You are part of that by praying there. Isaiah, I don't have this text on the screen, but I just want to see to read that. Isaiah 43 says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." This is what God is doing in Quebec. There's a lot to celebrate. There's a lot to rejoice. It's a special moment. I'm in tears because what he's doing, but I'm full of joy in my heart to see that and be able to be part of that, seeing what God is doing. Okay, some years ago, shift. I was with my wife, Cindy, and two other couples, And we decided to rent a sailboat in St. Lucie Island in the Caribbean. So we were there. I had some experience with sailboats. I was at the helm of the boat, and we were sailing around the island. You know, St. Lucie is here. The Atlantic Ocean is there, and the Caribbean is this side. We were on this side, so protect by the island from the open sea and the winds. But we decided at one point, everything was going well. You know, nice sun, nice ocean was nice. Everything was cool. And at one point, we decided, hey, it's so cool, why don't we go on the other island, in Martinique, cross the island, the ocean, and go on the next island. So we decided to go there. But as soon as we hit the end of the island, we were on the open sea. And where you're on the open sea, there's more wind. And when there's more wind, there's more waves. And the waves start to grow. Pass from 2 to 4 feet, to 6 feet, to 8 feet, to 10 feet. To 15 feet, to 20 feet. And the small boat were going up and down, up and down. We put just a little bit of sails to have a little bit of power, and we were going there and like that, and we were not seeing anymore the land behind and not seeing the land in front, and we were there. And one of the girls with us, Gabrielle, it was the first time for her going out of Quebec. It was the first time for her going on a plane and going on a boat, in a sailboat. First time she ever done anything we were doing there. And at one point she began to be sick. And I don't know if you know that, but when we are on a sailboat and sick, we are really sick. Because you don't see land anywhere, you don't see any possibility to get better. You just go like that and like that. At one point she were over the railing just there, and she was looking at me at the helm, and she was feeding the fish, and she looked at me and she said, "Patrice, do you know what you're doing?" And she said, "Is there a captain on board?" And I was there. And there are so many people around us here in Fort St. John and in Quebec who ask the same question. Is there a captain on board? Is there somebody out there who knows what's going on? Is there somebody out there who knows what he's doing? Is there a captain on board? People still ask this question around us. And who will give them an answer? There's 4 verses I want to share with you. The first one is not a verse that we read in Bible or Sunday school usually, but this verse impacted my life. It's Galatians 4:4. It says, "When time," I will read it here, "when the time had been accomplished, God sent his son." Just this part of the verse really touched my life, because it seems for me that this verse was saying that God was waiting for a specific time to send Jesus. Like if he knew. He was waiting for some particular time, the right time, the right moment, and when all that were put in place, okay, I send Jesus, this is the moment. And I start to look what was the political, social, economical situation at that time. And 4 things I would like to share rapidly with you. One thing, the first thing is, there was one language at that time, the Greek. One language bring by Alexander the Great, who bring the Greek language in all over the Mediterranean Sea and all the country there. Like English today is the main language in the world, Greek was the main language at that time. Another thing is the road. The Romans have built road all over the area, the countries there, and it was easy to travel all over the place, built by the Romans. There was the Pax Romana, that's Latin, mean per Roman, Roman peace, that's easy, Roman peace. It was Roman peace, the Pax Romana, was a freedom for any new movement of faith that was coming out. Freedom to express yourself of new ideas, new spirituality. The Romans bring that. And the last one I've got is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. All the prophecy of Jesus were translated into Greek. That has been done by the Egyptian. And the Egyptian, the Greek, the Romans, were not people who were following the God of the Bible. But they fulfilled the will of God. Is there a captain on board? Is there somebody out there who, it seems that there's somebody out there who knows exactly what's going on and what he's doing. He didn't lose control. God knows exactly what he's doing. And he's got the power to make it happen. Look to the next verse in Ephesians. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It is a plan centered on Christ, designed long ago according to his will. This is his plan. It will bring everyone under the authority of Christ. God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. The plan of God has been revealed to us. We know it. We know what God is doing. Bring everyone under Jesus. This is his plan. And when we look to the word, bring everyone, it means every part of everyone. So in your life, God has a plan and he's working to his plan. In your life, you who are here now, and in my life too, is bring every part of my life under him. My relational life, my professional life, my sexual life, my emotional life, he wants to rebuild it, bring freedom, bring healing. That's what he wants to do in your life too, in this part of your life. But he wants to bring everyone also who don't know him to get to know him and experience this freedom that we got in Christ, in Jesus. And while we are speaking, talking together here, I'm more the one who speaks now, but as we are together here, God is working outside this wall. For the same reason, reaching and bring people to him. Not to control them, but to bring freedom, healing, and transformation. This is what he's doing. And when you meet some people, sometimes you will say, oh, these people will never be reached for God. A person like Ali, this fighting dog. But there's nothing impossible for God. God has a plan, and he's got the power to make it happen. And he will make it happen. And people is working now in the life of people around you, in your circle, at school, at your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your family. God is at work. He doesn't have two or three plans. He's got only one, and he's working every minute, every second to this plan in your life and the life of people around you. Another verse. Ecclesiastic, a well-known one. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. So in one way, God wants to reach everyone to bring them under Christ. And he has put the thought of eternity in the heart of the people. Makes sense. He's got a goal. He's working towards this goal. So he has put this thought, this set the mind. How does he say that? He has set eternity in the heart of human heart. And the next verse, Luke 11. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, he receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. You see, all that makes sense. God has a plan, and he say, you have put a set this sense of eternity in the heart of human being, and if he seeks, he will find. If he knocks, the door will be open. And if you look to your life, and there's a timeline, you're born here, and there's a line, your timeline. And you look to your timeline, you can see some markers in your life when God was calling you. Hey, stop doing this thing. Stop going on those sites on the internet. Stop to manage your money this way. Stop to have this kind of relationship that it's not the best for you. And God is inviting you to make some steps in your life. And there's markers. Or maybe you never give your life to Christ. And this is those markers too. And God was calling you there. Hey, I'm there. Through another situation. Hey, I'm there. Come to me. Through another person. Hey, I'm there. Come to me. Trust me. And this is exactly what happened in my life. I can see this timeline and the markers in my life. When I was 14, I was sitting with friends north of Montreal in the countryside over the fire camp, and we were talking about life after death and all the power of subconscious, and we had a spoon and we were trying to make it move by our mind, and it never worked. We were the one who were moving before. But we were talking all night about that. We were curious. The thought of eternity were on our heart. God was calling us. Hey, there's more. There's more. We are part of something bigger than what we think. So I was with these friends, and one day, one guy brings some ashes, some drugs, and we start to take some drugs. And the ashes give place to stronger drugs like cocaine and morphine. And one day I was with a friend in a hotel room in a small village, and they were shooting themselves. And I was doing that for them because they were not able to do that anymore. And I've seen them falling one after the other one, talk, talk, talk. And I left the room. I came back a few hours after, and they were still there, not moving. And I said, this is not what I want. It should be something else. So sometime after, a girlfriend at school said, Patrice, come tonight. I want to invite you to a special night. There's a speaker there, and this guy will answer all your questions about life and death. Come and hear him. So I went there. And there was a man with no hair in a robe. Kind of guru. His name was Swami Sridananda. That was not a real name, but we were calling him that way. He was teaching us so many things about meditation, reincarnation, meditation, transcendental meditation, and we experienced so many weird things with him. But at one point I told him, I said, Swami, you're teaching us all those things, but something is missing, and I feel that it's an important piece. I cannot put my finger on that, but I know something is missing. Who taught you all those things? He said, it's a master in India. I said, okay, I don't want any more intermediary. I want to go to this master. You know, God has put, it says that, he put the thought of eternity in my life, in my heart. I was looking for answers. He was calling me. Patrice, I'm there. But Jesus, I've learned all my life that Jesus, church, Bible is not an option. So I was seeking for something else. But Jesus was still calling me. So I prepared this trip to go in India. I was going there with my girlfriend at that time. I had 17 or 18 years old. And 1 week before my departure, I had a shopping day to do. And I was waiting for the bus. And when the bus came, I was along with the bus driver. And I talked with him. He said, what are you doing? So I prepared a trip to India. Why are you going there? I explained him. He said, I was going there with my girlfriend. He said, you should go as a tourist. I said, why, you want to come with us? He said, no, you should ring the Lord. I said, yeah, why not? I was seeing the Lord like some supreme power on the top of a mountain with many trails to go there. His trail was religion, Jesus, the Lord. That was not my trail. I had to find my own trail. It was good for him, but not for me. So I said, good for you. And we laughed together. And 5-10 minutes after, I left the bus. You know, we never stayed too long in a bus in this city. It was the city of Laval, just north of Montreal. And an hour after, I was waiting for the bus again, and the bus came. The door opened, and the same bus driver was there. So we laughed a little bit together. And the bus driver, began to talk about Jesus to me. But the way he talked about Jesus, it was the way I've never heard before. It was like if he knew him. I was really surprised. I never heard that before, the way he was talking about Jesus. But again, 5-10 minutes after I left the bus, and I was doing my thing, buying a backpack, and waiting for the bus again, sometime after, and the bus came, the door opened, the same bus driver was there. I said to him, I said, are you the only one in this city, the only bus driver in the city? It's a big city, 500,000 people in this city. You should not be the only one. And we laughed together. He told me his name is Maurice, I'm Patrice, and we laughed together, and he shared a bit more about Jesus. And I quit again, the bus, waiting for my passport in the building in Laval, and took a couple hours there. And already after that, it was the end of the afternoon, going back home, the other side of the street, waiting for the bus to go the other side. And when the bus came, the door opened, I said, Maurice, he said, Patrice! So the same bus driver, 4 times the same day. That's a marker in my life. That's a marker in my life. Maurice asked me, he said, would you like to have a New Testament? I told him, I said, I would love to have that, but what is a New Testament? And he explained to me, it's the word of Jesus, the story of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, and what his followers have done after that. You're going to like that. I said, well, I would like to get one. So he dropped one in my mailbox that night. A week after, we left. We didn't have enough money to fly to India, so we flew to Morocco with the goal to walk through North Africa, Middle East, and to go in India. I wanted to know. I was a seeker. I was looking for answer. The one who seek will find. While we were in Morocco, after a couple of weeks, we were facing a chain of mountains, the High Atlas. And as we were walking, we met a guy from Quebec. I said, Maurice! No, it was not. It was not Maurice. It was a guy from Quebec called François. François decided to come and cross the mountain with us. We had a donkey and a dog, and we crossed the mountain with him. And François was coming back from India. He had spent 2 years in India. François was reading the Bible. And each time he finished to read the Bible, he was pulling out one book like Mark, Luke, Genesis, and he was giving that to somebody. Well, he wanted to travel light and light and light and light and light. But he was giving that, and his Bible was smaller. But something special, François was coming back from 2 years in India, looking around, asking questions, seeking, searching, and coming back without any answers. So I started to talk, am I going there for nothing? Am I going that and I won't find what I'm looking for? So François is another marker in my life. God was calling me in some way through François. We crossed Algeria, we crossed Tunisia, we had problem in Libya. 7 months after, we had to come back in Montreal. And my quest was not done. I was still seeking, searching for answer. So I decided to go down the States, to go in Central America, and I don't know where after that. And when I arrived in Florida, I met another guy who was traveling, François. The same François was in Morocco in the mountains. So we decided to go together. And we did hitchhike all over the Gulf of Mexico. And we stopped in a place called Tulum in the Yucatan Peninsula with another guy from Oregon. And the other guy from Oregon and François had a brand new Bible. And this other guy from Oregon have a Bible too. And they were reading the Bible every morning. And for the first time, I took the New Testament that Maurice gave me. And I open it. And I start to read the word of Jesus. And the word of Jesus start to go deeply in my heart. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the door. I am the light. I am the life. All his teaching was going deeply in my heart. And I left my friend and I went to the mountain in Guatemala just to read the New Testament. And I read and read and read the New Testament. I don't know how many times. And it was going so deep. But I didn't understand why he died on the cross. And a couple months after, I left Montreal with $250. And 3.5 months after, I was there and I said, I have to go back. I don't have any more money. So I hitchhiked through Mexico and decided to go through the West Coast and arrive in Vancouver. Now, I was this young guy, long hair, and kind of just a small bag here with even though it was a sleeping bag, traveling like that. And when I arrived in Vancouver, I lost my bag. And I lost my New Testament. I start to forget everything. And I start to hang out with the people in the center of Vancouver, you know, Hastings and Main Street. And things turn really bad. And I've been chipped, really sick, contagious. A knife went through my hand. And been sick, sitting in Montreal, sick at the hospital. And when I was at the hospital, I start to reflect into myself. And I said, when I was reading your word, something was changing in my life. And I said something to God for the first time of my life. I said, God, if you are there, I want to know you. I want that back. And while I was away, my girlfriend was with me in Africa, gave her life to Christ. And she came to visit me the day after and bring me a New Testament. The one who seeks will find. A week after or two, I went out of the hospital and I went in a church place where somebody was explaining who was Jesus and what he had done for us. And I gave my life to Christ that day. I understood that I've been created to live with God through Jesus Christ. I cannot live without him like a fish cannot live without water. Often people are saying that they have two choices. And they have to pick one of these choices. Living with God, following him through Jesus, or living a life without God and going on my own way. And I have to pick which one I want. But it's not the reality. The reality is we don't have those two choices. We have one choice. We are already in one of them. A life without God. And Jesus just give us his hand and say, come. I want to get you out of there and give you real life, real joy, real peace. This is what I've done. So I don't know where you are now in your life with God, with Jesus. I don't know where you are in your choices. God is calling you. He's got one plan. One plan is to get you, have this relationship with you, and bring healing and freedom in your life and transformation. What are the markers in your life? Can you see them? God is calling you. God is calling you. And you're looking all around. And all this time I was traveling around the world, Jesus was there right behind me or beside me, tapping on my shoulder. Patrice, I'm there. I'm just there. Look at the right place. So Jesus is telling you the same thing this morning. Where are you? Let me pray and I will say another word after. Jesus, you know everyone here in this room. Anyone, everyone. You know where everyone is and where they are going through. What they are going through. May you do this morning some miracles, something special in the life of everyone here. And may everyone recognize you and the call that you're doing in their life about their own situation, what the choice they have to make about their relationship, maybe the choice about their finance, or the way they manage their finance, the way they manage their relationship, the way they manage their professional life or their life. And you're calling them and calling them. And you're calling us. And today is the day to make a choice. Because you are the only one who can really bring what we are looking for. Maybe there's somebody here who never done this step of becoming a follower of Jesus. One of your children. And maybe these words this morning just touch your heart. And this is a time. God is calling you for so many times, through so many people, through so many situations. And it's the right time today to say, yes, Lord, come in my life. I want you. So I invite you to make this decision this morning. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you because you love everyone here in a way that we cannot imagine. Thank you because you love the people in Quebec and all the other provinces in a way that we cannot imagine. In a way, such a way that you were ready to give your life and dying and suffering on the cross to gain and to win over death. And this is this life that you want to give us. So thank you, Lord, for doing that. And thank you for everyone here this morning. And the power of the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Before to close and to let the place to Andrew, Drew would like to say a word about Maurice. Some people ask me sometimes, do you think Maurice was an angel? I say, no. No, I know. I know him. I met him after. But Maurice was more than a bus driver. He was more than somebody who was moving a bus from point A to point B. He knew that God had us as a plan. He knew that God was doing something deeper that we can imagine. He knew that he was more than what he was doing. He was not only a bus driver. He was a children of God, partner with God, co-worker with God. Maurice didn't share with me the four spiritual law. He didn't share with me the big, long theological concept. He just told me who was Jesus for him. And he touched my life in a way that I'm here talking about him today. So you can be a Maurice for somebody, because there's a lot. There's many Patrice around you. There's many Patrice around you who are looking for answers, who are seeking for Jesus, but they don't know. So you can be this Maurice for somebody. May God bless you. Thank you.